Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, his father saw a blonde-haired woman in a white dress sitting in the dining room. Then she disappeared. Who could it have been?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
We love real ghost stories here. So if you've got one, we want to hear it. Call it in if you want to at 855-853-4802 or write in at Real Ghost Stories Online, because that's online.com, that is, because that's what this show is all about, real ghost stories. If you would like to be a premium subscriber, you can sign up through Apple Podcasts, where you get 3 days free. You'll get no commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. You could also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and my sister, Kathy Gordon, is here today. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. So you know what I did today?
No.
As someone who works from home, March Madness is just getting ready to start. And I'm like, there's no office pool. That's one thing you kind of miss when you work from home. And so since my cats are my HR and finance department and my dog is my chief engineer and head of security, I did brackets for all four of us.
Oh, good.
It's a,
who did you pick to win on yours?
I kind of just randomly did. Well, now I'm going to have to put on my glasses, Kathy. Let's see. For mine, I put Iowa State Cyclones.
Oh, my goodness.
They're a two seed. They could do it. I have them playing Baylor and then and Kentucky and Purdue. That's the final four.
That's an interesting combo.
I know. I just randomly pick them because I know it's like, so Rizzo.
I mean, it's not impossible. Iowa State's really good.
Rizzo has Tennessee winning, my cat, who's my finance director.
Okay, not impossible.
Benji, my dog, has Arizona winning.
Impossible.
And, Izzy went with Houston.
Well, not impossible, but they did not look good the last game when they played Iowa State in the Big 12, I got to say. So they got beat by a whole bunch by Iowa State. But they're good.
So interesting. Assuming,
right now, out of all of those, I'm going to go with you.
Okay. Now, I'm assuming your bracket is KU is winning it all.
Well, you know, that's my dream bracket, but it's a dream. I've got a feeling this year, but I'm going to root for them. It doesn't matter. I'm going to root for my beloved Kansas Jayhawks. And it's, you know, going to be a little rough, I think. But, you know, that's what it is.
For me, when Wichita State was playing good basketball, they are not right now. But when they were, it was really hard for me to do a bracket and not pick them to win at all because I felt like not a good fan. And so if I had a team playing, I would have picked them to win it all.
Right.
Like I like KU because you like KU. I will definitely root for them. And then in the women's bracket, I have Notre Dame versus UCLA. Apparently.
I'd have gone with Iowa in that one, Caitlin Clark.
Well, maybe I could do another one.
Tell me about this woman in a white dress, because I'm wondering if I'm going to be a bad ghost because I do not own a white dress, or if that's standard issue after you die, you get one.
I don't know. You know, Tony and I,
we
over
hear
the
a
years
lot of white dresses.
Have talked about death clothes a lot. So if you die in a white dress, maybe that's what you're stuck in. And since you don't have one, you might just be the ghost sitting there in a jeans and a KU shirt.
Maybe, because I'm just thinking, you know, like,
because that's your wardrobe,
the woman in white,
Cubs.
We hear of this white dress, we hear these, you know, women wearing white. I'm like, I don't have any white ghost garb.
It's women in white, women in black, and occasionally the woman in red, which is more than just a song.
Yeah. There's so anyway, I just think that's interesting that maybe you get one after you die.
Well,
maybe
here's the story. And it says, hi, I'm a listener from Norway. I stumbled across your podcast on an app called PodMe. It says, I thought I'd share my story here. Just for quick background reference, my mom and I used to live in a haunted house. As a kid, I remember being somewhat freaked out by hearing footsteps upstairs in an unused part of the house. I can relate. Later, when I was a teenager, I moved upstairs to this area of the house and had an insanely scary episode. I woke up feeling someone tugging on my blanket. As I came to, I thought it was a dream, but then the blanket was being pulled slowly down my body as if someone was at the end of the bed pulling it. It freaked me out. I totally froze, and I thought of every horror movie I had ever seen in my life. But somehow, I mustered the courage to turn and look, and to my surprise, nobody was there. The next morning, I told my mom about this episode and the footsteps I heard as a kid on several occasions, and my mom said she didn't want to tell me, but the house was haunted, and she had seen an old man who was apparently the previous owner. I remember my mom saying, "If you think or say out loud that you don't want to see the ghost, they will not appear to you. Or if it's a good ghost and it can feel you being scared, it will not show itself." Thankfully, I never saw the old man. And then this story gets kind of sad. It says, now fast forward to a few years back, I was visiting my grandparents when my grandma suddenly said they had some issues with their alarm system sensor in the dining room / second living room. The company called them saying the sensor was malfunctioning, but when they came to check, they couldn't find anything wrong. Then my grandfather said, "Maybe it's what I saw in the chair there the other night." He was laughing and brushing it off as something he imagined, and I asked, "What did you see?" He said he got up from the sofa and went to the kitchen to get something to drink when suddenly he saw a blonde woman in a white dress sitting in the recliner in the dining room. He said he rubbed his eyes and looked again, and still the woman was sitting there. So he walked towards the woman, and there are two steps down to the dining room, and as he approached the steps, it's about 2 to 3 meters to the chair where he saw her, so that would be close. He's an old man, so he had to see where he was putting his feet going down the two steps, and as he looked back up, the woman was gone. He told me that the woman could have been my mom. She passed. My grandfather, being extremely rational, brushed this off as just a figment of his imagination. Then 1 week later, my son became ill with something that turned out to be meningitis and passed away. I can't imagine. Thinking back to this, I can't help but think it was my mom, because she knew that if she appeared in front of me, I would not like it. So maybe she chose her father to tell us that my son is okay wherever he is now. Somehow this helped me get closure and find peace in my grief, knowing he is somewhere with my mom, Eric. Oh, I can't even imagine. But you know what? I don't know, because I've never lost a child. I can't imagine what that grief would be like. But I do think it would bring you some comfort, you know, with especially the grandpa saying, "I think it was your mom." And
yeah. Then, no, I do too. Yeah. That I would definitely think that if the mom could reach out and knew this was going to transpire in some way to let them know that she was there to be there for him.
Yeah.
When he got there. You know, I think she would try any way she could to do it.
And don't you think, too, if you had passed and there was something traumatic your child was going through, you know, like in this case with losing their child, like presenting yourself. So it's like, I just want them to know I'm here for this child. And especially with the conversation Eric had with his mom, to know that. Mm-hmm. You know, what she felt about, you know, if you're scared or, you know, just if it's a good ghost and you're scared, they won't show themselves to you.
Yeah.
And it kind of followed along those lines.
Ugh. And it would give you, it would give me just that little bit of comfort to think that, you know, she was there for him.
I just want to give Eric together. A hug. That had to have been so much to deal with. That one is rough. But thank you very, very much for writing that in. And thanks for listening in Norway. Yeah. That's interesting. So here is a caller. Here we go.
Hey, Tony, my name is Antonio. I currently live in the state of Oregon. This story takes place in the city of Douglas. Just a little backstory. The city of Douglas had an internment camp during the 1940s for the Italian and German officers of World War II. We lived within the square mile that used to be the entire mile camp. In my house, I had a five-year-old son who had seen something. We didn't know what was going on, but he was having like nightmares and fits. And I worked a night shift on an oil rig, so I would leave for a week and come home for a week. And on one of these stops home, my wife had asked me to stop leaving the closet light on when I left for the week. I didn't know what she was talking about because I'd overturned the light on because I didn't want to wake her up. What I would do is I'd shut the door and I'd turn my cell phone light on. And I would just get dressed and pack my bags for the week, and then I would take off. Well, one day while I'm home for my week, I'm getting my son ready for his preschool, and I'm putting his shoes on in the morning, and I don't know if you ever see a dog like when you talk to it, and it kind of turns its head to the side, like kind of doesn't understand you, but it knows that you're talking to it, you know. And my son kind of went, ooh, you know. I was like, what are you talking about, buddy? What's up? And he goes, Daddy, you see him? And I'm all, see who? And he goes, the man with no eyes. And I mean, what do you mean the man with no eyes? You know, and he's like, yeah. He goes, the man with no eyes, he was behind you really right now, and he ran back in your room. And I was like, what do you mean? Where did he ran back in my room? He's like, yeah. And I was, okay, I didn't think anything of it. So I take him to school when I come back that day, and I was talking to him. And I asked him, you know, what do you mean the man in my room that you were talking about this morning? And he goes in our room. Where does he go when he goes in me and mommy's room? And he goes in the closet, Daddy. He hides in the closet. So that's my story on that one. To this day, I still don't know where the gray man with no eyes came from, or the gray man with no eyes. But my wife used to freak out with that closet. She never liked it being open. And she always got the creepiest feelings being home alone when I wasn't around. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. I got some more that I was sending to you, but I got to get back to work. So, all right, bye.
So how would you react if your kid's like, hey, the man with no eyes is behind you, and he went into your closet?
Yeah. Well,
and I got a kick out of it.
Here's one of those weird ones, because you don't want to just go, you don't want to be dismissive.
Right.
Right? And yet,
you don't want to be terrified.
You don't want to scare them either, because they are seeing. And it was interesting. I didn't get the sense that the boy was super afraid of it. I mean, he kind of startled, and he said, oh, Daddy, you know, the man with no eyes is behind you. But he didn't, like, scream and panic and get all shaky or something. He just went off to school. So he didn't seem horribly afraid of it.
And in part, maybe too, because of the dad's reaction, because he was pretty chill about it, because he's like, I didn't think anything of it, and took him to school. Like, I would have been like, what do you mean? Can you describe him? Like, do you see him often?
The man with no eyes. Like, tell me more. Like, this I need to know about, right? But that's interesting. And then, of course, the connection to the closet.
And the wife not liking the closet, getting a bad vibe from the closet.
Closets are kind of notorious for being sort of creepy, at least I think, you know. And so that kind of makes sense. That is fascinating. And like, I think he did the exact right. It sounds like he managed it the best it could be managed.
Yeah. I think he did a good job. That was good parenting. He didn't freak out. He was like, okay.
Yeah. All right. Didn't scare him. Yeah. No, I think he did exactly what he needed to do. But he didn't. He wasn't dismissive. He didn't say, oh, no, you know, there's nothing there. You know, he didn't do that. He listened to him. And then later he said, you know, tell me more about that thing we were talking about this morning. And the kid's like, oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah, I think that was good parenting. But it's interesting because what we don't know is, because he had to get back to work, and so we don't know more stories. But I wonder if he ever did pick up on anything in the house.
Well, I hope he'll write back or call back and let us know more about that. Like, has his son gone on, you know, to have more, you know, sightings? Or was that just a one-time thing for the son? He said he has other stories. So yeah. I would be interested to know if it more involved this house, yeah. this particular house, or if they've moved since then and there's other things in other places.
I'm just telling you right now, I'd have moved. Mm. I'd be like, man with no eyes man in the closet, no got to find a new place to live.
Yep, man with no eyes.
Well, here's one more story. This says, both my stories take place in my current residence where I have lived all of my life. My father built the house brand new in 1979, and my family has been the only residents since. The first story takes place when I was in grade school, somewhere around third grade. As a child, I was always involved in some sport or another, mostly football. My father was the assistant defensive coach, and I played first string offense. Every year that I played Little League football, we went all the way to the championship for our division, and every year we won. That's impressive.
That's really impressive.
Right after winning one championship game, I celebrated the victory by watching the Munsters on the television in my mother's room. At the same time, my father took his usual seat in his bedroom. Yes, my parents had separate bedrooms. I prepared myself a bowl of ice cream and casually walked down the hall toward my mother's room. My mother at this time was staying the night with my aunt to help take care of my sick uncle. I reached my hand out to open the door to my mother's room, and you know what happened, Kathy.
Oh, the doorknob started shaking.
The doorknob started turning back and forth frantically as if someone were locked in the room and trying to get out.
Oh, I know that feeling.
I know. My father was the only other person in the house, and he was in his bedroom at the other end of the house with his door closed. I froze in fear, and I watched the doorknob turn back and forth violently. I finally turned and ran into my dad's room and told him that someone had broken in and they were hiding in Mom's room. Dad led the way through the house, grabbing my baseball bat on the way through the living room. I followed my dad through the house and grabbed a butcher knife from the kitchen counter. We made it to Mom's room, and Dad readied the bat in the air as I stood back, clutching the knife. Dad flung the door open and turned on the light, and there was no one behind the door, under the bed, in the closet. The window was closed and locked, and nothing appeared to be disturbed. My father and I proceeded to check out the basement, garage, bedroom, bathroom, and anywhere big enough for someone to hide. After the search revealed no intruders, my dad told me I must have imagined it. I know I didn't, because I stood there for at least 10 seconds watching it, and I definitely had time to register what I was seeing was happening. The door has never done anything like that since, and the bedroom has since become my son's room. Occasionally, as an infant, I would find him awake in his crib, standing at the end of it, staring at the wall and chattering while holding his arms out, but he has never seen anything that has scared him. The second story takes place a few years earlier than the first. I was in grade school at the time. I was lying in my bedroom asleep. There was a terrible storm outside, but storms have always put me to sleep, especially when there is heavy rain. I woke up out of a deep sleep and saw my brother standing at the end of my bed. His head was down, but his clothes and unmistakable long red hair were clearly visible with every bright lightning flash. He was wearing a white t-shirt and his leather jacket. He was covered in what looked like red clay mud, and he was soaking wet and dripping as if he'd come in out of the rain. Finally, there was a huge flash of lightning and he vanished. There was no mud on the carpet or even a wet spot where he had stood. I told my mother about it and she said, "Oh, even if it was Randy, he would have never hurt you. He loved you." I didn't mention that my brother Randall was killed on Christmas Eve when I was 1 year old. Hope the stories weren't too long. I have many more if you would like to hear them. All the best, Justin.
Well, we definitely do.
You know, that's interesting because seeing him, and he said his unmistakable long red hair, his leather jacket, my guess is there's a very recognizable photo of him. You know, when you grow up, my guess is that, you know, they wanted him to know he had a brother.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted him to know about him, and so he would recognize him if he saw him.
Wow.
That's powerful.
That's really powerful.
And then the other one with the doorknob, and it doesn't sound like they're, you know, I'm going to guess there's more stories in this house than just these two.
Yeah,
but they're
two
pretty intense stories.
Wow. The one with the brother really is.
That one gets me in the heart. Because that's what we talk about. You know, when we talk about the guardian angel, the person who watches over you, that could be his brother for him.
Mm-hmm. Sure could be.
So if you have a real ghost story, we would love to hear it. If you want to call in, call 855-853-4802. If you want to write in, go to realghoststoriesonline.com. Don't forget, you can be a premium subscriber, no commercials, advance episodes, and access to the archive. You can subscribe through Apple Podcasts, try it for 3 days free. You could also do that through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.